I get the last part of the verse Ronnie started. And that is, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. And many times, and a lot of us in here have done funerals, preached funerals. To me, the main scriptures, or two of the main scriptures that you hear at funerals, John 14, let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. A lot of funerals, we either start with or we use that verse. The other one is Psalms 23. Yeah, there's a lot of other verses that I use in funerals. And I don't do a lot of funerals, but yeah, just the idea, especially when the person that's died is a Christian and has that hope, that's when thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. David made constant use of his rod and staff as he tended his sheep. The rod coaxed the sheep in the right direction, especially when urging them to go through a gate. Sheep seem to fear going through a gateway, even though they may have gone through the same gate several times. Sometimes our Lord needs to use his pride to prod us through these valleys, these anxious experiences that we go through, even though we know that we're safe in God's care and that God has led us safely before. Ronnie's talking about medicine. How many kids today are on medicine for hyperactivity? You work in a public school, it's a lot of kids. And we think about my generation and the other generations, how many kids were on medicine, or how many people even heard of hyperactivity and being on medicine? God can lead us safely through these times. David acknowledged that he needed the good shepherd to catch him or even trip him up so that God could help him. Sometimes our tendency is to run away from God when we need him the most. Another tendency of people is they don't call on God unless they are in dire straits. Yeah. You hear about people who don't pray, but when some big thing happens, then they start to pray. And we've known, a lot of us have known people like that. We can't run away from God when we're in these situations. We've got to come to Him and be closer. You know, that's not very smart behavior, but God still loves and cares for us, even sometimes in our stupidity. We need God's love and care when we lack understanding and are acting a little stupid or dumb or whatever the case may be. And we all get that way. We all get depressed. We all go through situations. But God's rod and His staff, they comfort us. When God prods, guides, and catches or trips us for our own good, we can finally say, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. We go through these situations. We don't know why they happen, but we go through them. and God's there to help us. As a shepherd, David would be familiar with the tools of the trade. He had often used his rod and staff when dealing with the sheep under his care. In this verse, he recognizes God uses similar tools to guide and grow us along the paths of righteousness. Now, first, the shepherd uses it to draw the sheep together into intimate relationship. If a newborn lamb is separated from his mother, the shepherd uses the crook of the staff to lift the lamb and reunite it with the ewe. Secondly, the shepherd uses the staff to draw the sheep close to himself for intimate examination. He can, for the purpose of establishing relationship, use a staff and to pull in that timid sheep that would typically keep from their shepherd. And third purpose of the staff is to guide the sheep. Shepherd will reach out a staff and tenderly lay it on the sheep. The sheep is comforted by his touch. With some gentle pressure, the shepherd guides the sheep in the direction he desires. Sometimes when we're doing that, God will reach out that staff and sort of hook us and bring us back and help us to draw closer to him. He uses this rod and the staff to help us grow. The rod represents the Word of God. God uses the rod of His Word for our protection. The shepherd's rod was his main weapon of defense. Each was personally made by the shepherd to fit his hand. And that had to be important, that it had to fit his hand. People have those different size hands, it's got to be comfortable. He could use it as a club or throw it with incredible accuracy at an enemy. It became an extension of his hand. The Word of God is our primary source of offense and defense. Ephesians, the 6th chapter and 16th and 17th verses, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Take that sword of the Spirit. Do you carry a sword with you every day? If you carry a real sword into public schools, they're going to take you out in handcuffs. But a friend of mine, sitting up on her bookshelf in her classroom, was her sword. Her sword of the Spirit. Romans 10 and 17, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. In Exodus, it's talking about Moses and his rod, and the Lord said unto him, what is that in thine hand? And he said, a rod. Verse 17, and thou shalt take this rod in thine hand, wherewith thou shalt do signs. And Moses took his wife and sons, and set them upon an ass, and he returned to the land of Egypt. And Moses took the rod of God in his hand. Jesus used God's word as a rod to beat back the attacks of Satan. Remember when Christ was tempted? What did he use to defend himself against Satan? He used the word of God. Matthew 4:1, then was Jesus led up in the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungry. And when the tempter came to him, he said, If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But he answered and said, It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. I'm sorry, in this country, I doubt anybody in this room has seen real hunger. I know Ronnie and Harry have seen people that suffered hunger. We don't see hunger. If we go a day without food, well, I'm hungry. But we're not necessarily. By every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Then the devil taketh them up into the holy city and setteth them on a pinnacle of the temple and saith unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, He shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou shalt dash thy foot against a stone. Jesus said unto him, It is written again, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Again the devil taketh them up into an exceeding high mountain and showeth them all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. And he saith unto him, All these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then saith Jesus unto him, Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Jesus used the word of God to defend himself against Satan. We need to familiarize ourselves with the word so that it becomes an extension of us. We need, as the Bible teaches us, to be ready to give an answer to every man who asks us about that hope within us. We've got to be ready when somebody asks us why we need to be baptized, to be able to tell them. What are the steps to the plan of salvation? We need to be ready to tell. We need to carry that spiritual sword with us on a daily basis, and that way we can help those who are less knowledgeable about the Bible. A lot of people have their ideas. Brother Cobb talking this morning about churches allowing gay ministers. And I mentioned this in Indiana last weekend. One of the churches in my area where I live, my cousin goes there, and they've started, or their organization is that it's okay to have gay ministers. Big, well-known church throughout the world. They don't agree with it. So I'd say odds are there's a good chance that they'll sort of disassociate themselves with it. We've got to be ready to give an answer. The world doesn't, or should not be the one that directs us. It should be the Word of God. Inspection. Shepherds would periodically draw sheep aside for thorough inspection. The Bible in 2 Corinthians, I think 13 and 5, says to examine yourselves whether ye be of the faith. We need to have that self-examination. Wool can often hide defects, wounds, or insects that can hurt the sheep. The shepherd would use the rod to part the wool so that he could see the condition of the skin. Against the praise, you can't pull the wool over my eyes. Ezekiel 20 and 37, and I will cause you to pass under the rod, and I will bring you into the bond of the covenant, and I will purge out from among you the rebels and them that transgress against thee. I will bring them forth out of the country where they sojourn, and they shall not enter into the land of the Israel, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. Talks here about passing under the rod and bringing them into the bond of the covenant. Hebrews 4 and 12, for the word of God, and we say the rod represents the word of God, is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not made manifest or not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. The word of God is quick, it's powerful, it's sharper than any two-edged sword. It doesn't matter where we go, God knows what we're doing. And scripture talks about we can go in the deepest cave or the deepest part of the ocean. He's there. It doesn't matter. It says, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Psalms 139 and 23, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Search me, know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And if there's any wicked in me, help me out. The next part of the rod is correction. The Bible will keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from the book. We talk about Satan and we see different ideas of him. In Hebrews 12 and 5, and ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as children, my son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him, for whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. And when we're tripped up a little, and when our conscience takes hold and, hey, we messed up, that's God correcting us. That's God telling us, okay, you messed up, let's get back on track. And it happens to a lot of us. I'd bet it happens to most of us. Because sometimes, whether it's a thought or whatever, God is correcting us, and he will correct us. Proverbs 29 and 15, the rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. Rod and reproof give wisdom. We think about the rod as the word of God, and reproof, God reproving us or correcting us. Proverbs 22 and 15, foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. Now I tell you, that's not very popular today. Yeah. And when we talk about the rod of correction, a lot of us remember being corrected as a child. Different parents use different means. For my mother, it was go out to the old privet hedge, sometimes send one of us out for a sibling, get a hickory switch, and we were correct. True story, I had to go get one from my older brother. I got her one that big around. Or about that big around. She didn't like that one. Reality, when you think of a hickory switch, those little keen ones that wrap around you does really a better job than the one that big around. But I wanted to be hard. So, but you know, the rod of correction. And now kids yell child abuse if you touch them. Well, from what I can tell, all of us turned out okay. And we had that rod of correction. You know, sometimes God will use that rod of correction on us to sort of whip us back into shape. He uses His Word to correct us. 2 Timothy 3:16. All Scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So the Word of God's good for what? It's profitable for doctrine. Yeah, knowing what we need to be able to tell other folks about why we believe this, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. God uses His Word to correct us. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Unfortunately, I really can't see too much. But that's one picture that I found of a rod. And like I say, different. And you find different examples of rods and staff as far as, you know, looking them up. And of course the staff with the crooked neck. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Staff represents the Spirit of God, that communion or reunion with God to draw sheep together. It was used to carry newborn lambs to their dams or mothers who might reject them if the human scent is on them. I know there's several animals. I think rabbits are one that if you touch it, the parent or the mother wants nothing to do with it. And just different animals, if they've got that human scent. It was used to reunite lost lambs with their mothers. Philippians 2:1, if there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. You know, it's the Holy Spirit that draws us to each other in Christian love. It's the Holy Spirit that helps us spend time together in love and commitment. A lot of us committed that we wanted, were in commitment that we were going to be here this week. And we've done this, and I know we missed a few years, but 26, 27, meetings of this group. And at this point I've even lost count, but it takes commitment. God wants that commitment. He wants us to be committed to Him. It's to draw the sheep to the shepherd for fellowship, keep it from danger, and for instruction. And danger And some of those lands where David was cliffs and different things. It's the Holy Spirit of God that draws us to Christ for salvation and communion. 2 Corinthians 13:14, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen. It's for direction. The shepherd would use the staff to gently tap the sheep when it was time to turn or move. Think about the Holy Spirit who guides in us, enables us to recognize our shepherd's instructions. John 16:13, howbeit he, the Spirit of truth, has come. He will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He will guide you into all truth. Isaiah 30:21, all thine ears hear a word behind thee saying, this is the way, walk ye in it, when ye turn to the right hand and when ye turn to the left. And like the rod, the staff was an extension of the shepherd's hand. He would often use it gently to touch his sheep in affection. And it's through this Spirit we can stay in touch with God. Matthew 28:20, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And that last part, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. In Christ's words, I am with you even unto the end of the world. He's there a lot of times carrying us along, sometimes walking right beside us. But help and guide us to make it through this world. John 14:16, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth it. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and he shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless, I will come to you. Ephesians 4:30, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. In application, are you comforted by the protection and inspection and the correction of the rod of God's Word? Are you comforted by the communion and direction of the staff of God's Spirit? In Psalms 139:23, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Search me, know me, try me. Yeah, that seems like that would be a good prayer for God to search us and to help correct us. And if there be any wicked way in me, lead me in the way everlasting. My last slide goes back to our first verse, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. The rod of God, which represents His Word, and the staff, which represents the Holy Spirit. They guide, they correct us, they help us as we walk through life. We need them every day. One of my favorite scriptures, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. And Christ in Luke 9:23. Walking daily with Him. Sometimes there are bumps in the road. Sometimes the road seems smooth. travel from here to Indiana, there's a lot of bumps in the road, even on the expressway. Coming up here, there's probably a lot of bumps in the road. And I'm talking about physical bumps. But in life, we'll go through these bumps. But let's remember His rod and His staff, they comfort us. Thank you for your attention. And at this time, I'll take a minute to close this down, and we'll hear from the next speaker.